Welcome, everyone, to another edition of KDWA's Community in Depth program. All of the Hastings School Board candidates have been invited to spend 19 minutes with us, introducing themselves and answering questions, letting the community know in their own words all about them. And we are thrilled to have today's candidate in studio with us, Jessica Gelhar. Great to see you.
Hello, great to see you as well. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thanks for coming in. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So Hastings native, born and raised here, graduated from Hastings High School class of 2005, made a short jaunt over to Wisconsin where I attended the University of Wisconsin Stout and obtained my bachelor's degree. While there, I also started the Women's Lacrosse League as a club sport and most recently has switched into a collegiate sport, which is awesome. So that was an exciting thing there that I like call out. After that, I moved back to Hastings and married my husband probably 3 months after graduation. My husband, Pat Gelhar, he's also a native to Hastings, born and raised here as well. We did not go to school together, but we met. And when we decided, we knew we wanted to start a family fairly soon and we wanted to decide on a place to really hunker down and call home. We didn't want to have to transition a lot. We wanted to be part of a community so we could have a vested interest in that. And ultimately it was Hastings, which is funny because I think about it growing up, right? I would have never thought that. But when looking at the values that we wanted to instill in our kids and what we wanted to be part of in the community, this was it. So we've got two children, Cohen and Calla. They are part of Pinecrest Elementary, third and first grade. We've had nothing but good experiences with the district thus far. In that regard, two dogs and a house built later, Hastings is really our forever home. So that's a little bit about me personally. I work at Thomson Reuters in Eagan. I've been working there. It'll be going on 9 years now in various leadership positions, ranging from a wide variety of sales to technology to marketing, a lot of different spaces, but all of which touch on the many facets of a global business. So Thomson Reuters actually has over 25,000 employees. We've got hundreds of products that we support. So not only do we need to make sure that we're understanding the impact to our employees and in promoting a positive employee experience, but in turn, how does that reciprocate then onto the receiving end, which is ultimately our customer, right? Because if we can't retain and grow that base, we're essentially nothing. So it has to have a very focused viewpoint on that outcome and really understand the big picture. They work in a variety of different industries too, worldwide. So it's important to make sure that we stay abreast of all the trends and really plan for that 5 years out, 10 years out. We are the leader in our industry.
What exactly is your industry?
Oh gosh, they cover a lot of them. So they've got legal, they've got government, they've got corporate, they've got tax and accounting, they've got news. So lots of different facets. I have experience specifically in all but the news piece. So Reuters News is a more an up and coming portion of the Thomson Reuters business, right? So you'll see Reuters Media, that piece is up and coming. So I haven't had the opportunity to dabble in that space, but all of the others I have had the opportunity to work with, which is interesting because it's a great big world out there outside of that one silo in the business. So what I enjoy about that work, though, is the diversity of it, is the challenge of it, is using the data and the tools that we have to make appropriate decisions that influence those positive outcomes. So that's a little bit about me. I think, let me go back here. Volunteerism, why I decided to run for school board. So for me, I'm somebody who really enjoys supporting those around me. I'm fueled by building relationships and making intentional connections. I want to make an impact. I want to help people around me. I've had several opportunities to volunteer, whether it be through coaching my children's sports. So I've coached lacrosse, I've coached hockey, I've coached soccer, volunteering at the church, volunteering at Feed My Starving Children. I've also done a lot of work with junior achievement through Thomson Reuters, in which I've been a mentor to students, high school students. But then I've also had the opportunity to do scholarship readings and rate those and give feedback to kids. So that has been very enjoyable. But it's through these experiences, whether it be at work or here at home, those opportunities that I really kind of just started to spark that interest to, gosh, I want to do something that can make a bigger impact. I want to be more involved. I want to be a part of the community. And I also wanted it to be something that my children can learn from as well. So it's been really fun involving them in this campaigning and educating them on what the school board is and what does that mean. And so that's been really fun. But that is really what sparked my interest in this. And I had a conversation with a handful of folks around the school board, what was required. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit. So for me, it's 100% fueled by my passion, right? I want to be there to support those around me. And what better way to give back to the community, to our kids? So yeah, that's a little bit why I started running.
So Hastings has a school district of about 4,700 students, over 600 employees, and a yearly budget of over $50 million and 14 different bargaining bargaining groups to set wages. What have you done to be qualified to be a Hastings school board member?
This kind of goes back on what I said before. First and foremost, the passion that I bring forward. I truly have vested interest in our school, our children, the staff, and all of those that support that. So first and foremost, I think that's a crucial piece. Secondly, just my experience in my career, I've been very fortunate to have a successful career and learn a variety of different things in a multifaceted global business landscape. And it touches on all of those pieces that will be directly applicable when on a school board and required of a school board. So you think, gosh, how can we, you know, recruit more students? How can we recruit top talent teachers? And then how can we retain them? I do that every day in building out teams. I actually have had 3 interviews already today for positions that we're trying to fill in our role. And it's really identifying what it is that we're looking for. And then how do we build a path of success for those individuals to retain them and allow them to grow and allow them to be challenged. And through that, you need to take time to listen. So that's just one example, right, of something that I do every single day. But a lot of the projects that I do impact our customer, our employees, our projects. We need to think about what's going to be our go-to-market strategy. How are we going to accomplish all of this within budget? And then how are we going to scale this on a global landscape? So I think it's those pieces and then looking at it big picture to see if we do this today or this year or even next year, what are we going to do in 5 years or how are we going to continue to support that initiative? I'm very much a firm believer in not a one and done. If you don't follow up, you can't expect them to follow through. So we need to make sure that we're following up on initiatives and what was our goal against those. And if we're not hitting that metric, let's pivot. Having the ability to pivot, right? And making that correlation and knowing that, you know what? Sometimes we may fail and fail fast and then change. And in order for us to be able to make positive forward progression, we are going to have some times where we fail. But what's important in those pieces is we take those learnings from that experience to move forward in the right direction.
Have you ever had to find common ground with someone who opposed your viewpoint?
All the time. You know, working in that global business landscape, we have different segments of the business, right? We've got the legal, the government, the corporate, the things that I had called out a little bit earlier. But all of them may have a different view in how they want to operate their business, right? But when we look at it from an enterprise model and creating consistency, they might have to change the ways that they're working and in the process in which they do things and how that impacts their employees and how that impacts their customers. So in those situations, it's really important to first pull together insights, whether it be data to support the scenario, whether it be direct feedback from customers or from the team members that are involved to ensure we have a full big picture view and that we have a clear understanding of what it truly means to put ourselves in their shoes. Getting that direct feedback and really listening to their story and their experiences and how it made them feel and really connecting with them on that level is crucial to having the conversation with that person to allow them to see, here's the big picture. I understand where you are today. By making this shift for tomorrow, our goal is, I think this will be a benefit to you because, and ensuring that we're tying back and correlating their feedback to our reasons as to why they're going to move forward. If we can make those correlations, it makes that change management process a little bit easier and they'll understand the why, but they still might have resistance to it because change is hard, right? Change is absolutely hard, but it's a very, very crucial step to make sure you're listening and you're looping in those value pieces to their feedback so that we can together move forward. So that's an everyday continuum in the role that I am in, but I enjoy it. Change management is something for me it's another day and it's a challenge, which is what's exciting me.
A school board member is elected by the community to be the boss of the superintendent, the highest position in the school district. What makes you qualified or what background experience do you have to help you make judgments in dealing with the superintendent?
Good question. I don't like looking at it in terms of the boss, right? I work with a group of individuals to determine the direction of the district, and together we define that and we make appropriate, you know, considerations towards that. When I think about what qualifies me for that, I've led a handful of teams, numerous teams, both small and large scale teams, and have also driven projects that touch a substantial amount of users and that will impact their day to day and how they do their work, all while trying to retain our top talent. So I think I have considerable experience in that space. When you think about, gosh, the boss and how you drive that, again, understanding and having a collaborative overarching goal together, common ground awareness is to these are the goals and objectives. This is our mission and these are the values that we want to be able to deliver that mission on. If you can establish that first and foremost awareness and transparency, I think you're starting off on the right foot. But then together developing those goals so that it's not just me, myself, and said board members dictating what's happening, but it's a collaborative conversation where we together determine goals and put in place measurements to get there. So career development and growth and leading people is something that I have done in my entire career. And I love it because people are my passion. I love being able to create those connections, having them be involved. And at the end of the day, if our employees aren't well, they are not going to be a top performer in their role, right? They need to be happy and satisfied with what they're doing. They need to feel challenged and appreciated. And if we don't have that conversation and take those elements into consideration, they're not going to be able to provide what is in the best interest for our students, right? And those in that staff and environment. And also, their attitude absolutely influences the culture of the rest of the district. So making sure we're setting that tone and being aware of the shadow that we cast, and we're positively portraying that authentically, I will add, you know, making sure that, and that's why we have those conversations, to ensure that the way that they're portraying and exemplifying themselves is in alignment to their true self. So
what do you see as the current district strength?
Current district strength, so financial, obviously we're in a really healthy place there. So that's something to be proud of. I talk about the passion of the people that work within our schools, the teachers, the staff, in having conversations with them. They're all extremely passionate about what they do. They all very much have a vested interest in these children and want to do what is best for them and the community. So I think that is something that we shouldn't take for granted, right? How can we elevate that passion and really allow them to feel empowered to be part of that decision-making process and be heard in those conversations? And then I think just the offerings that we have for our students. I think we're really diverse in terms of academics and athletics. You think of shooting trap, like not a lot of schools have that, and we're doing really well in that space. So how can we continue to make sure we're incorporating that constant feedback loop and continuing to add different offerings into our district for our students? And that's going to change, right? And it should, because as the new generation comes, there may be, you know, and socioeconomical trends that could shift. But again, we need to be open to making sure that we continue to maintain that.
What do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing the school district, and how would you propose to deal with them?
When we think specifically of our school district, obviously one challenge or opportunity, rather, I don't like the word challenge. Like, I like the word opportunity, right? Because with every challenge comes the opportunity to learn something. So in hiring a new superintendent, how are we going to successfully get through this interim state of having that interim superintendent and then moving on that full-time superintendent seamlessly, right, without impacting those directly around? And ensuring that folks are educated and aware of what's happening in that process is going to be really important. And then ensuring that we are getting that new individual out there in the district, in the community, and visible, so that folks can really start to get to know and build that relationship and that trust component, which I think is crucial. That's specifically to our district. When I look more in the big, I think mental health is a huge piece, and it's not just our district. That's everywhere. That's not just kids. That's adults. And I really want to start making positive steps towards breaking down the stigma of mental health. To me, mental health is just as important as physical health. You can't pour from an empty glass. And if your glass is empty and you don't have the support system there, then what? So really educating children and staff that it's okay to feel that way, and it is normal. And here's what we can do to talk about it: sharing our stories, sharing our experiences, which is hard because you have to be really vulnerable to really open up around that. It takes that first kind of scary step of, you know what? I have a mental health journey and this is what it was. And I do. And it's scary, but it's okay. It's okay. So that's important. I think we absolutely need to focus on that. You know, and I've talked a lot, you'll see in a few of the interviews, is really focusing on the basics. And what I mean by that is partly onto that mental health component, but there's so much pressure on kids these days. It's a dramatically different world today than it was when we went to school. Dramatically different. And it's scary different. And children very young have anxiety for things that they should never have to think about. So how can we get back to those basic elements of ensuring that we're providing that safe environment, but an open environment to talk about things that are scary and different and hard, and making less pressure, right? Test scores are absolutely important. I understand that. We needed to make positive momentum. But for a kindergartner to worry about, you know, what reading level they sit at, no, we're not there yet. We didn't even learn how to read in kindergarten. It was all about the nap pads and bringing home the class gerbil. So it's things like that. How can we kind of instill that? And I think that's crucial in how our kids will continue to progress in their educational experience, right? Because if that pressure starts early, it's only going to continue to build and snowball. So I think we absolutely need to take a look at that. But on that same note, we talk about technology a lot. And again, I don't think this is necessarily a challenge, but how can we employ implement components into our curriculum that focus on technology, not only from the stance of like engineering and coding, but let's think of search engine optimization. Like, how do I make my ad appear on Google? What's an algorithm? Educating them on those facets of technology is huge because the industry and the potential there is substantial, and it will only continue to be substantial. But alongside that, I'm very aware of the reverse side of technology in that we need to teach responsibility of using the internet and technology, and there are substantial consequences to it if we do not. Kids at a very young age are on the internet and doing those things, and we need to educate them about what exists that they may not have awareness to, and that when something goes online, it doesn't go away. And you might not care right now when you're 16, but you might when you're 35 or when you're 25 out of school trying to get a job. So it's just making sure we're sharing awareness to that element. It's safety is a real thing on the internet. And that sounds so weird to say, but it is absolutely so real. And words hurt, and kids need to be aware of that as well. So those are really like challenges, again, opportunities. I'll also add, I'd love to put more emphasis on trade work. I think right now that industry is booming because of our shift to that technology space and go to the four-year college and that pressure and how we've moved as an economy. But we need to focus more on the trade school opportunity. There's so much potential in that space, and that fit is better for other folks too. And it's okay. And you should be proud of going either path. So making sure that we open the lens to that. And I know we do have different opportunities in that space today, but again, socializing them more, making it more available, making it more accepting, and that it's okay if you don't go to a four-year college. In today's economy of student debt, I think it's something that kids are really taking a long, hard look at, and they should. And then the back to the basics, right? How do we try to minimize that pressure, or better yet, make resources to make that pressure feel less than support groups?
So tell the voters of the Hastings School District 200 why they should vote for you.
First and foremost, I just want to say your voice absolutely matters. Our children matters. They are our future, and the individuals that you choose to trust in these positions that will influence the outcomes of our district and our community matter. So I would encourage you, get out there, educate yourself on the different candidates that we have. We have a diverse panel of candidates, which is really exciting because it shows the vested interest that we have in this community. But why vote for me? I'm 110% doing this fueled by my passion to help and support those around me. I pride myself on being an authentic leader both in and outside of the office, which means I will come to you with my authentic self. I'm going to be as honest as I can. I will be creating intentional connections with you, and I will assure that you will be heard. I'm inspired by innovation. I thrive in that ever-changing landscape, and I wholeheartedly enjoy collaborating and driving forward positive change. I love setting goals. I love utilizing different strengths of those people on the board and within the community to move those forward. I've successfully led several teams towards exceeding targets, whether that's a sales goal or successfully launching a new platform or a product. So having that big picture view is extremely important. And I think they very much translate into what is required to be successful as a member on the board. And again, my commitment to you is to give myself 150% both in the boardroom and to the community and be a voice and advocate for our students and our district.
Thanks so much for coming in today. Jessica Gelhar, she is one of the candidates for the Hastings District 200 School Board, and the election, of course, is on November 5th. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.